Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful that we are able now again to be in thy house this second time in this day and have thy word before us. We give thee thanks, Lord, for thy provision. Thank thee for the grace that thou dost give us day by day and the strength and the sustenance that only thou canst provide. We lean upon thee and we pray now a blessing upon the reading of thy word and a blessing upon the meditation thereof and asking that thy presence would be felt in our midst. Lord, for we look to thee and we rely upon thee and our gathering together would be in vain if thou art not yet with us. And so we just pray thee, Lord, abide thou with us. We love thee and we thank thee and ask these things in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For this afternoon, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew and read chapter number 23. Matthew 23. With the Lord's help, I'd like to read the entire chapter. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulder, but they themselves would not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blinds, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outward appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We clearly understand that it is sin that separates us from our Father, our Heavenly Father, and that the scriptures are clear on that, and it speaks of that quite often. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we know that Jesus came here upon this earth to save us and to redeem us, that we would not have to dwell in sin, but that we can be restored to a proper relationship with the Lord, and that sin would no longer separate us from our Heavenly Father. And so we know sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. We also are very familiar that worldliness also puts us at a dispute, as an enemy of God. In James 4:4, it's written, ye adulterers and adulteresses, speaking spiritually, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Meaning that we are at odds with God if we are a friend of the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we understand these things to be true, and I'd also just like to read in 1 John chapter 2, where it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. So we are clear. The scriptures make it clear, and we have no misunderstandings about the fact that sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. Worldliness puts us to be an enemy of God as well. If we love the world, we are an enemy of God. The scriptures make that all clear. But the reading here that we had this afternoon also makes it very clear that just as sin separates us from God, and just as worldliness separates us from God, that Phariseeism also separates us from God. And so those deeds which the Pharisees had done should be repulsive to us, just as sin is repulsive to us, and just as worldliness is repulsive to us as born-again believers. Jesus had much to say to these scribes and to these Pharisees, and this is actually a difficult chapter to read. It's a scathing chapter. There's much that is said to these scribes and to these Pharisees of the life that they were living. And Jesus made it very clear earlier in this book when the Sermon on the Mount was recorded, where he said, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Bible makes it very clear. Sin separates us from God. Worldliness separates us from God. Phariseeism separates us from God. Jesus here begins and speaks to the multitude and to his disciples by saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat," meaning that they have taken on the role of speaking forth the word of God and bringing forth the law of what God would have for the people of Israel. And so he's saying that the scribes and the Pharisees have taken on this role. They sit in Moses' seat. "All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." So as long as the scribes and the Pharisees were proclaiming the law of Moses to the people, that they should accept those words. Because the Lord God had spoken these words to Moses, and Moses then conveyed them to the people of Israel. And so Jesus is saying, whatever they say of Moses' law, not the commandments of men, but of Moses' law, he's saying, observe it and do it. He says, "But do not after their works, for they say and do not." And so Jesus was here exposing who the Pharisees were to the multitude and to his disciples. He says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders." That's one thing. That's a horrible thought, is to place a burden and to make someone's life very difficult. That's bad of itself. But then he goes on and further, and he describes the Pharisees, but they won't even help the person that is bearing this burden, this heavy burden that's grievous to bear. And then he goes on in the next few verses, and he describes who the Pharisees are. And he's describing what it is that we specifically need to stay away from, that we would not be excluded from the kingdom of God. Here is their selfishness. Here is how they were bringing all the attention to themselves. He says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." This was Phariseeism. They wanted the attention. They wanted the attention. All their works, everything that they were doing it so that they might be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Phylacteries was a leather strap, essentially, that would wrap around their one hand and go up their arm and wrap around their forehead. And in that would be a box that would contain some of the Moses' law, and that would be on the forehead portion. That's what a phylactery was. And they would wear this phylactery as they would worship the Lord. But they would make it broad. They would make it prominent. They would make it to be seen. "They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Basically, they were always saying, "Look at me, look at me." And they were not giving glory and honor to their Lord. "And they love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." They were seeking attention. That's who the Pharisees were. They wanted, and they were seeking after the pride of life, which the Bible here says, as we read there in 1 John, that's evil before the Lord. That's worldliness. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These men here, in verses 5, 6, and 7, as Jesus is explaining, is that they had a desire for the pride of life. The pride of life. "Look at me. Look at me. See how broad my phylacteries are? Look how long my prayers are. Did you see where I was sitting, in which room I was sitting at the feast? Did you hear them in the marketplace? They were calling me Rabbi, Rabbi. All they wanted was attention for themselves. And we read this morning in Acts 14 about Paul and Barnabas, how when they were able to heal the impotent man, that the people were going to worship Paul and Barnabas. And they were calling them Jupiter and Mercury, and were going to make sacrifices to them. And Paul said, no, no, you have it all wrong. Worship the Lord God. Worship the Lord God. The Pharisees, they were saying, yeah, bring it on. Bring it on the praise. I want the praise. That's what they loved. That's what they loved. But Jesus says, don't be called a rabbi. Don't be called a father. Or don't call any man a father. And don't be called a master. There is one master, Jesus says, and that's Christ. And that's me, is what Christ is saying here. There's one. And you all are brethren. You all are brethren. You're all equal. You're all brethren. And then Jesus says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Greatest among shall be your servant. And Jesus displayed that when he washed his disciples' feet. And he says, you call me master and Lord, and that's correct because I am. But if I then, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, how much more then should you wash one another's feet? And so he's saying here that if you want to be great as Christ was great, he became a servant. And so we are to become servants of the Lord and do his will. And then he further says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And here it was that Christ is teaching the multitude and his disciples this in regards to the Pharisees, because they exalted themselves. Look at my phylacteries. Did you see how broad my garments are? Did you see where I was sitting in the feast, which room I had? They exalted themselves, and they were abased, and Christ abased them often. But he that shall humble himself, the same shall be exalted. And that's the lesson here. That's the lesson here. Sin separates us from God. Worldliness separates us from God. Phariseeism separates us from God. But if we humble ourselves, and do what the Lord would have us to do, and seek no recognition for ourselves, or not to make a name for ourselves, or to bring any glory to ourselves, but to ensure that if there is any good done by ourselves, that God gets the glory. He deserves it. Anything I was able to do is because of his grace. Any faith that I had, he had given it to me. He had showed me the way. Any knowledge I have, that knowledge came from the Lord. And so this is what we are being called to. Not to worldliness, not to sin, not to Phariseeism, but to humble ourselves and to be used in his service. And then in these next few verses, again, a scathing chapter as he brings to them the knowledge of who they are, that they would be, it would be clear as to where their failings are. They were supposed to be the religious elite. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders, as Nicodemus was, and as Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus what it means to be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. Like, what do you mean? Am I supposed to enter into my mother's womb and be born the second time? And Jesus says, you're a master of Israel and you don't even know these things? If this was the business world, the Pharisees wouldn't have survived. They would have been out of business pretty early. But they found this role that where they can be spiritual leaders, supposedly religious leaders, not spiritual leaders, but religious leaders, but they failed. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer them that are entering to go in. He's saying, you don't want to be saved. Jesus says, or in John's gospel, it says that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. He came to Jerusalem. He came to Israel. He came to his own nation, the nation that the Lord loved. And they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't believe. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against themselves. And those that would want to go in, they wouldn't allow them to go in either. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Christ is again speaking to them and telling them, here's your fault. You're making a show of your prayers. You're standing on the street corners, and you're making a long prayer. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that they will think that they will be heard for their much speaking, but it's all in vain. They were for a show, for a pretense. They were making long prayers, but they were devouring widows' houses. And Christ is saying, you're going to receive the greater damnation. You would think that, well, the damnation belongs to those publicans, Zacchaeus and Matthew and the other publicans. They deserve the greater damnation. They were extorting. They were stealing from people and giving it to the Roman government. But no, Christ is saying, you will receive the greater damnation. You were making a show. You weren't from within glorifying the Lord. He's saying, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. A proselyte is a new convert, one who would just come to believe. And he's saying, you would go everywhere, just to get one new convert, one new proselyte. But when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Because they were not teaching the way of truth, not showing the light of the Lord. And then he says, and woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear on the by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And he goes through and talks about the temple and the gold and the altar and the gift and heaven and God, and he explains to them, you're blind guides. And five times in this chapter, he calls them blind. Ye fools and blind. Verse number 19. And in other verses here, he's calling them, they're blind. They don't know the way. And Jesus says, if they're blind, leave them alone. They will both go into the ditch if the blind lead the blind. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We will not be blind, but we will see the light of Jesus Christ. And we will know his way, and know that his way brings peace. His way would bring about a humility in us, as the Apostle Paul came to know. He thought he was in God's way, but he was blind. He was blind. And he had a heart for the people of Israel when he said that they don't know God's righteousness and they go about to establish their own righteousness. And the Apostle Paul was that way himself. And here Christ is telling them who they are and how they're getting it all wrong. And he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. For these things ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. They were so careful that, okay, here we have some herbs, and we'll take these herbs, and we're going to make sure that of these herbs that we own, we're going to take 10% of all these herbs. How small of a matter is that? That's such a small thing. But they were careful. They're gonna make sure that of these herbs, we're gonna take 10% and we're gonna give it to the Lord. That's straining at a gnat. That's straining, being so careful on a small matter. On a small matter. They were straining at a gnat, making sure that the liquid was pure, and they were going to strain and make sure that there was no gnats that are going to be in the liquid. But they didn't think anything of devouring widows' houses. They thought nothing of it. It's okay. We can devour this widow's house. We'll just take everything she has. They could swallow a camel, but they were straining at a gnat, making sure that they were going to, you know, pay that 10% of their herbs. And just as it was when they were accusing Jesus before Pilate, and they didn't want to go into the judgment hall. They didn't want to go in there because then they would be defiled and they wouldn't be able to keep the Passover. But they were willing to murder the Son of God. That's straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. And Jesus says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He speaks of the outside of the platter and the outside of the cup and the inside of the cup. I'll just simply summarize it by verse number 28. He says, even so ye also outwardly appear to be righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They appeared to be righteous. That phylactery, it was in broad daylight. Everybody could see their phylacteries. There was no missing that. Their garments, they were large. Everybody could see, and standing on the street corners and praying long with vain repetitions. It was all on the exterior. It was all on the outside, that they outwardly they might appear to be righteous unto men. They were looking for the praise of men. But within, they were full of hypocrisy, and they were full of iniquity. They didn't think anything of devouring a widow's house. They didn't think anything of laying a heavy burden, grievous to be borne, on men's shoulders, and then say, you're on your own. You figure it out. You do that. I'm not going to help you. And they exalted themselves. And they exalted themselves. They didn't humble themselves. And he says, but within you're full of hypocrisy. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. And when they were surprised, well, why would you eat with unwashed hands? You're not keeping the law. And Jesus exposed their hypocrisy to them. And then he tells the people afterwards, he says, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. And so this is what we are to listen to, and this is what we are to understand, because this is the message that Jesus brought. There is nothing from without a man that entering in him can defile him, but the things coming out of him, they are that which defile a man. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then he says further to them, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. All these things come from within, and they defile a man. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees were so careful that the outside would be clean. But Jesus says, but from within, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This is the definition of Phariseeism. And just as we are to stay away from sin, just as we are to stay away from worldliness, we are to stay away from Phariseeism because it excludes us from the kingdom of God. This is the word of God. This is excludes us from the kingdom of heaven. And this is the word of God. We are not to do things for a show. We are not to place a heavy burden on somebody else and walk away and say, well, you figure it out. But we are to yield ourselves to the Lord. We are to be humble. Jesus, again, speaking to Nicodemus, he says, Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. We need to be born again. The Pharisees were not born again. They were not born again. They simply lived religious lives that looked good on the outside, but within they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus exposed them of that. And so Jesus told Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, ye must be born again. There's no other way. You have to be born again. Ye must be born again. And then when we are born again, Jesus says, but he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so Jesus exposed the Pharisees as to who they were and what was really in their hearts. Within, they were full of dead man's bones and corruption. And also it speaks here somewhere in the chapter that, in verse number 25, within they were filled with extortion and excess. They were so angry with the publicans that the publicans were taking money from them and from the other Jewish people. But they of themselves, here Jesus says, that you were full of extortion. You're full of extortion and of excess. And that's not what the Lord would have. And so he calls them, ye serpents, ye generations of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? How is it possible that you can, in your unclean state, in your unrepented state, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You were claiming that this adulterous woman or this person who was a sinner would receive the damnation of hell. But Jesus is saying to them, you will not be able to escape the damnation of hell because you are not born again from within. And so this is the message that Jesus would have for us to understand, is that we must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that. Ye must be born again. There's no other way. Ye must be born again. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Pharisees had no concept of that truth. We are to be born again. Born again. In Titus chapter 3, we read of how we once were, how we were hateful and hating one another and engaged in all manner of sin. But then it says, but after that the love and the kindness of our Father appeared, all those things were done away with. They were all done away with. We have become new creatures. And we don't become pharisaical anymore. But we are new creatures in him. And so after he gives unto them this scathing message, he says to them with great compassion, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? This is why Jesus came, to gather his children together, to save us from our sins. And it says, and Jesus says, and you would not, you would not. The Bible says that all day long has God stretched out his hand unto a gainsaying and disobedient people. They would not receive the message of truth, the message of love, the message of redemption, the message of repenting for our sins and living anew unto the Lord. He says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. They lost everything. Their house is empty. There's nothing left. No one in there. It's unoccupied. There's no furniture. Their house is left to them desolate. Because on the outside, it was so important for them to receive praise of men All these things, Jesus is saying, that they do, that they might be seen of men. It was empty. It was empty. Christ didn't call us to a life of emptiness, but to be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with all of his goodness, to know his love. And so going back to verse number 12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is what Christ is calling us to. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. We are unworthy. We have done nothing good of ourselves. Anything good that we have done, that credit belongs to the Lord. And if we have done anything wrong, that blame belongs to us. But all glory goes to the Lord all the time. And so we are to have the thought that Jesus shared with his disciples, that after we have done his will, and we do it in humility, that we would simply have the disposition, the attitude that we are simply unprofitable servants and only have done that which was our duty to do. That's the humility that he is looking for. Anything we've done, it was simply our duty to do. We're just unprofitable servants. But God is good. But he is faithful. And he wants us to be born again, to live anew in him, and to put away all the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, to put that all away from our lives and to live for him. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
The many teachings of our Savior, he speaks directly to the heart of man. In the parable of the good seed that was sown upon the grounds, it was describing the hearts. And Jesus' teachings cause us to reflect upon our heart and what lies therein. And he knows that each and every one of us, and wants us to also reflect upon our hearts. When we do, we will find that we need him more and more. So I'd like to read for conclusion of this service a verse from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.